You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
So today I want to share with you on the topic, how to activate your faith. Jesus said, when he returns, will he really find faith here on the earth? In other words, will he really find people pleasing him? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is not this mystical thing, but when you're really in faith, you're in a place where you've got rest and peace on the inside of your heart. So I want to just touch on some pointers and many of the things you're going to know, but I really just want to activate people's faith this morning to just start to act faith again, to be in faith. Because there are so many things coming against people that they lose heart. Amen? The good news is, according to Scripture, faith is something you have. Believing is up to you. As I said, whose report will they believe? But faith is something you have, because Ephesians 2 verse 8 says that we are saved by grace through faith. Where did you get that faith to get saved? God deposited that mustard seed of faith on the inside of you that's enough to activate your faith to be able to believe. Amen. So Romans 10 verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if you want your faith to grow, you're going to have to spend some time hearing the word of God. Because this is what produces faith. If you want faith in your heart, you're going to have to allow the Word of God to dominate your heart. When the Word of God dominates your heart, faith will dominate your heart. Faith is not this mystical thing, the pie in the sky. It's something that's very practical. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet." So oftentimes it is the small little thing, the lamp, the Word of God is a lamp. And as you take that step in the direction that you should go, the light moves with you and you know what's the next thing that you have to do. So faith is really just trusting God in everything that you do, in every step that you take every day. Many people never act faith, never step out in faith, because they never take the first step. Peter said, at your word, the nets were empty, and the Lord said to him, drop your nets. He says, Lord, at your word. Amen? For Esther in the palace, it was that step into the king's presence. For the little boy with the five loaves, it was just taking it and putting it in the hands of Jesus. Sometimes it's just that small little step. Turn to the person next to you, say, one small step. So what the Bible teaches us that this word will reveal the condition of your heart. When we look at Hebrews 4 verse 11, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Turn to the person next to you, say, enter that rest. When it comes to faith, faith is not an anxiety. I have to know. Faith is a place of rest, where you know God has spoken to you. It's that place like a child trusting a father. That's faith. Faith is not this big risk that you take. Faith is a substance, and that substance is Jesus Christ, and we know that he is real. So it says, therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God will reveal whether you're in faith or not. Amen? If we look at verse 11, the only proof of your faith is your obedience. So faith is very practical. It's something practical, amen? It's not this mystical thing, faith. Ooh, it's like practical, amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, faith is practical. Faith is actually proved by our practice. You can see when somebody has got faith when they're stepping out in faith. The word will reveal what is in your heart, what you truly believe. It's the only thing that can discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart. That's why you always have to use this as the standard. I'm not even going to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, test yourself to see whether you're in faith. So sometimes you have to test yourself to see whether you're in faith. I think my wife said it yesterday. She says, sometimes when God is silent, it's because you're busy writing a test. And the master cannot talk to you while you're writing the test, but the master is praying for you while you're writing the test. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. So pass the test. So sometimes think about a classroom. Exams are coming up. Your teacher loves you. He wants to help you. But while you're writing the test, he has to be quiet. He cannot talk to you. But he's praying. Give them wisdom, Lord. Give them understanding. Give them discernment. So the word of God will reveal what you believe. So you can go to Luke 5. When the Lord said to Peter, he said, drop your nets. But Peter only dropped a net because he was in a place. I wonder if God's really going to do it. If you go read it, he said to God, he said, Lord, we have toiled all night long. It's been a tough, hard night. The nets are empty. But at your word, amen? So oftentimes, the difference between a net and nets is what you believe in your heart. God always wants to do far more abundantly above whatever we think or dream or can imagine. But it's what you believe. Turn to the person next to you. Say, faith is never the problem. Believing is the problem. Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? Because faith is something that we have. And mustard seed can move a mountain. Faith is that substance, and that substance is Jesus Christ himself. So when you feel you don't have faith, don't look at yourself. You look to Jesus where the price was paid. When you have to pray for a difficult situation, look towards the cross where the price was paid. Can I say this? Don't just talk faith, act faith. Sometimes in the church we can talk so much Christianese. You know what's Christianese? And people talk so much Christian stuff like you. What are they saying? You know, all these Christian kind of things. It is the truth that sets you free. And that truth is Jesus Christ himself. Amen? So when it comes to faith, faith is very practical. Practical. Peter might not have all the belief in his heart, but the substance of faith, Jesus Christ, the word here, was in front of him, and he said, drop your net. And he said, at your word. Sometimes, even when you say, I wonder, God, are you going to do it? You have to act faith and take that small step. Turn to the person next to you, say, take a small step. Faith is a conviction, but when there's a conviction, there should be a demonstration. There should be action. Amen? Today, many people don't know how to show their faith. It's become this mystical thing, whereas when you look at Scripture, it's a very practical thing to express your faith. Turn to the person next to you, say, you can express your faith. Turn to the person next to you, say, express your faith. I think the very simple way is to compare a father to a child. That total dependence of the child upon the father. And I want to salute single parents, single moms, single dads. It's a tough job, but teaching your children the right way. God bless you and may God help you. Amen. Yes, give the Lord a hand. Amen. From a young age, teach your children faith to have their trust in God and that God was going to do it. Something that Belinda and myself did, just some practical thing that we did with our children growing up. When they wanted something, and I was maybe not in the position to buy it immediately, I would never say to them, I don't have money. We don't have money. What a stupid question to ask. Why do you all, you know, we don't have money? I never did that. Because then I impart into them fear and lack, a poverty mentality. We would always say to them, it's not the right time right now. Is that really what you want? Yes, I really want it. Okay, let's pray and trust Jesus. And let's ask God that He will bring it at the right time. Amen? So I'm just giving you, there's a lot of things I did wrong. I can tell you about things I did wrong as well. But that's one of the things that we taught our children. And by God's grace today, they don't have a poverty mentality. They know God at the right time will do it. God makes everything beautiful in the right time. So with your children, teach them. Don't say, no, that we don't say it's not the right time. Let me tell you, to keep children happy is very simple and easy. They're actually happy with very little. Amen? It's we as parents, because we don't give them the necessary time, that we want to make all these sacrifices with all these big gifts. Not sacrifice, obedience. Amen? They don't need your presence. They need your presence. Amen. So do small things to show your children the heart of God the Father. Amen. As a father, show them. Many of us have got daddy issues, just the way that we grew up. Amen. And I can tell you, even being a pastor and trying to do it right, I've not always got it right with my kids, but I've tried to impart the right things into their lives to make it easier for them to trust God. But many people, to trust Jesus is easy, but to trust God the Father is sometimes difficult because of the fathers that we had. Amen? So take some time and teach them these practical things so that they can experience God's blessings. Teach them to trust God and pray. I'm trusting God for that. Let me just say this. In trusting God, parents, you have to get to a place where you draw a circle in your life. What do I mean by that? If you're going to trust God for big things in your life, trust God for the big things. But at a stage, say, this is where I'm going to be happy. Because otherwise, you're always going to make your circle bigger and bigger and bigger, and you want to be used by God as a financial channel, say, to bless the kingdom of God. But if you're making your circle bigger and bigger and bigger and more debt, 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 you're going to be able to do less and less and less for God. Then the blessing is just about you and not advancing the kingdom of God. I hope I'm helping some of you here. Amen. Decide what you are happy with and be content with that. Amen. So that you can start being a blessing in other people's lives. Otherwise, if you always just, when there's more money going into a bigger house, a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger car, when are you ever going to get to a place where you bless somebody with a car, bless somebody with a house, pay somebody else's school fees? My daughter shared yesterday, she said she's a product not of her own faith, but because of other people's faith. She's here today. And you can listen to her testimony. But sometimes people are waiting on the other side of your obedience, your faith, because they just cannot believe at that stage. But you can come and use your faith for them. Use your strength to strengthen them. So the Bible is full of promises, full of situations, amen, that we can learn from that. One thing I can say to you, your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. So be very careful what you say, amen. Your faith can never rise above your confession, what you are saying, what you are declaring. So if you are trusting God for big things, make those confessions, make those declarations. But more than anything, start to act faith. Let's go to James 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Do you believe that God is busy doing a good work with you? If you're believing it, start to act faith. If you know what you know, that you've got the victory, you can start to smile. Amen? You can start to put a smile on you. Anybody can smile when they've received the blessing. But it takes a man and woman of faith to start to smile and say, thank you, Jesus, when the blessing is not yet manifested. But when you know what they don't know, that you've got the victory, it's not a fake smile, it's a real smile. And some of you that know that God is going to do it for you, some of you that know that God has done it for you, put that smile on your face. Amen? Put that smile on your face. Walk like somebody that's got the victory. Don't walk like somebody that's defeated. Walk like that person that you know God has done it. If God has given you the promise and you believe it, you can hold on to it because He's not going to disappoint you. Amen? Turn to the person that you say, God will not disappoint you. Family, listen to me. This word is God. And if this word fails you, it means God fails you. And God cannot fail you. God cannot fail you. So, as a Christian, you cannot live a life above the words that you are saying. If you're saying every day, I'm tired, I'm miserable, my life is going nowhere, nothing is working out, I almost want to say, why are you complaining? If that's what you're confessing, why are you complaining? Why don't you start by changing your confession and saying, things are starting to change. Things are starting to change. Give the Lord a hand. I shared in the prayer meeting this morning, I said, the man of God came to Ahab and he said, I hear the sound of rain. Go tell him, I hear the sound of rain. But as yet, there was no rain. A matter of fact, he had to send his servant 7 times to go look before he saw a cloud. So sometimes God will tell you, I hear the sound of rain. And by faith, you have to prepare for that rain. Amen? So how should one have faith in God? That is the question. Turn to the person if you say, how should we have faith in God? Can I tell you something? You have faith in God by the daily things that you do. When you walk in here and people know you're going through a challenging time, but you're smiling, and they look at you and they say, what does he know that I don't know? That he's smiling. Amen? You know that you have the victory in Christ Jesus. It's starting to live by faith in the small little things. It's the small little steps that you take. Faith is expecting Jesus to do what he promised to do. Faith is simply a lifestyle of trusting God in everything that you do. You know, sometimes we, how many of you went and sat down on that chair in Jesus' name? We need Jesus to sit on a chair, but we don't always realize it. Amen? So everything we do, we should be aware that we need Jesus. Amen? That in Him we live and move and have our being. We should depend on Jesus for everything. When you're aware of His presence in everything that you do, that's pleasing to Him. Amen? It was the king who said to Daniel, the God whom you serve continually, continually. The God whom you serve continually. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, faith is something you have. So I think when you have a revelation that God the Father is your Father, you're His child, and that He wants good things in you, for you, helping you, you have faith automatically. Then faith becomes a lifestyle of trusting God in everything that you do. Lord, I'm going into this meeting now. I know that you are with me. I'm going to make food for the children. I know that you are with me. I'm going to work. You are with me. You are with me. Everything. I'm coming to church. You are with me. That's the position of a child. A child has total dependence upon the Father for everything. That's faith. A total dependence upon God for everything. But many times we become so strong in an area that we don't depend upon God anymore. Habakkuk says, you make my feet like that of a deer, then you lead me up my high mountain. Many times when God has made our feet as strong as a deer, we start running up mountains where we shouldn't be, instead of allowing God to still lead us. That's faith. That's a total dependence upon God for everything. Your own child, when they are small, they need you to eat. They need you to help them with everything. It's that kind of a dependence that we need. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, activate your faith. It's not big. It's a small step. So ordinary circumstances and situations in every day, just activate your faith and start doing it. Amen. Romans 10 verse 16, just go there quickly. I want to say this just quickly. For you truly to exercise your faith, you have to guard your heart. Because the devil wants to contaminate your heart. If he can contaminate your heart with an offense, then you think more about the offense and that person than what you're thinking about God and your dependence upon God. When I grew up with this prayer. It's an Afrikaans prayer. A bene kankie klein, die Here maak my hartjie rein, sodat niks in mag woon, maar liewe Jesus alleen. I am a little child. God purifies and sanctifies my heart, that only Jesus can live in my heart. I still pray that prayer, even as an adult today, for God, sanctify my heart, that only Jesus would feel welcome here, and Jesus would be here. And it's important that if you want to act faith, that you make sure that your heart is pure. Because you can get to a place where you can activate and use your faith, but it's not faith working through love. Remember, there are people that came to Jesus and they said, we casted out demons. We prophesied. And Jesus said, I don't know you. Who are you? I submit to you that that's people that did all these things, used their gifts, but they did not walk in love. Amen. Because the principles work in the Word of God. Amen. But faith should work through love. That's the most important thing. Loving God and loving people. I'm going to start to close. Romans 10, 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So that then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He says, who has believed our report? They could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. 2 Corinthians 2, 9. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Can I just say this? The test to see if you are obedient to the Word of God is directly linked to your obedience of the Word of God. If you're obedient, faith. When the disciples came and they asked Jesus, increase our faith, Jesus said, increase your faithfulness. Become more obedient to what you have to do. There's a secret that I've learned. It's stackability. Do you know what that means? Every day, stack the faithfulness up every day. It was Daniel, three times a day, went on his knees and said, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting me. Three times a day. Because he did it three times a day. In 1 year, I think it's 1,095 times. That's a grateful heart. Amen? What do you think Jesus wants? Do you think he wants you on one day to say thank you 1,000 times? Or do you think the three times a day, every day? Let me rephrase it. Do you think my wife wants a rose every day? Or do you think she wants 365 roses once a year? Yeah.
I love you for the year, 365.
No, in the same way with God, stackability, every day tell him, I love you. Every day say thank you. Amen.
So in conclusion, let me just say this. To activate your faith, faith comes by hearing. Not just hearing the word, but obeying the word.
This is what we saw with Joshua. Joshua was supposed to go into the promised land 40 years earlier. And he said, listen, I'm not walking around this mountain again. I'm getting it right now. Joshua 1:8, here's the instruction. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it.
So let me just say this. There's a difference between thinking about something and meditating about something. When you meditate upon the word of God, you cannot be negative. But thinking about all your problems, that's one thing. That's one level. But when you start meditating, it takes you to another level. You can have a negative thought and think about that, but when you start replacing it with the word of God and you meditate upon it, it will take you to another level. The devil might tell you, you're going under. And you read and say, the Bible says, you're not going to go under, you're going to go over. And you start to meditate. What does it mean to go over? God is the one who lifted me up. I'm reaching out to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord is the light of my salvation. I shall not fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And you meditate upon all those things. Amen? Thinking about a trial can cause fear to grip your heart. But when you have revelation about that trial, that God has given you the victory, you'll start to smile. That's where you see the disciples in James start writing, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because they know the end result. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, hope. And the hope of God does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Because God loves you, He's going to help you and see you through. So we activate our faith by what we say. Amen? Bible says, because we believe, we speak. So your situation that you are facing, if it looks like you, if you're facing a giant or whatever, you're activated by what you say. Say what is in the Word of God about your situation. Amen? And if you were here yesterday when they spoke about joy, the difference between joy and happiness, joy is something that God places on the inside. The peace that I give you is not the peace of this world. There can be a storm on the outside and you can still have peace on the inside. There can be difficulties on the outside and you still have that peace and that rest on the inside, knowing that God is walking with you. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because God is with me. So it's our works that prove our faith. The little promptings. Turn to the person next to you and say, listen to the little promptings. Faith acts now, faith believes now, and faith receives now. So that is it. So if you want to activate your faith, this is the kingdom way. There's many other ways that you could do it, but this is the kingdom way. Number one, do not let the word depart from your mouth. Go and find a few scriptures, the promises, and go write it down where you can see it. And then you say it and you declare it. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to have to say it. Then he gives instruction. He says, meditate upon it. Meditation brings revelation. Every time you're spending time in the Word, you're spending time with Jesus. And Jesus will bring revelation to you. Amen? The Spirit of worship is the spirit of Jesus, and the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's why many times when you're just in worship, when you're in worship and you experience the spirit of Jesus Christ just come upon you, it encourages you, and you just know it's going to be okay. Just lifts you up. Jesus is that gift with a lift, gives you hope, shows you a vision of your future, like a Joseph, that prophetic picture. That's what God does. But when you see that, you have to meditate upon it. So that small thing, sometimes it's just walking into your office and smiling. Amen? Some of you that are trusting God for a husband,
You're going to have to activate a smile. Amen. Because some guys are so scared, they're not going to smile back until you smile at them. Amen. So just crack him a small little faith smile, like just a Jesus smile. Amen. Just that small little activation. Amen. And some of you guys as well. Amen. You're just going to have to do something as well. And that's how we've done a lot of things. Amen. I'm closing. Whether you are Peter with an empty net, or whether you are Esther in the palace with everything, you have to hear what God is saying to you. For Peter with the empty nets, it was, drop your nets again. Don't give up now. It's time to drop those nets again. For Esther, it was, listen here, God has called you for such a time as this. Don't think all these blessings are just for you. You are here to save a nation. I've placed you here for a purpose. So whether you're in the palace and you've got everything, or whether you're Peter and you've got nothing, God wants to speak to you and you have to act faith. Because not all your possessions pleases God and your empty net doesn't please God. It's faith that pleases God. Amen? And you're going to have to act faith. So what is that next step that you have to take? And act that. Do that. And as you take that next step, you'll see what God will do. Amen? That's the kingdom way. If you want to activate your faith, you're going to have to say it. You're going to have to meditate upon it. Then you're going to have to observe and to do, because faith without works is dead. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.